We did it. They did it, I guess. But I feel like we're all a part of this. But they did it. They broke the losing streak. They scored 4 goals. Joey gets a shutout. I mean, everything that they've been struggling with was all corrected in this one, including puck luck, of all things. Who would have thought that would have played as big a role as it did in this one? But Kraken picking up a win, snapping the losing streak, picking up a win at home. I mean, everything that we wanted to see, we got to see tonight. The guys looked like they were working hard. There was some changes on the power play, and we saw them that pay dividends again, in part because of puck luck, but that's something that the Kraken were missing a lot of, right? And we know in hockey, puck luck can play a big role. So like, that's how good the vibes were around this, was even the puck luck came back for a traditionally unlucky team. So I'm really pumped about this one. I really, really am excited to be here on Emerald City Hockey Postgame Live. Thanks everybody for joining us. Of course, presented by Flatstick Pub. And if you were fired up watching that game against the Ducks and the Kraken's ability to get a win there, well then, one, we get the next game is also going to be against the Ducks, but also going to be playing the Ducks on April 5th when I'll be doing the live watch party at the Flatstick Pub South Lake Union location. That will also be a game against the Ducks. So we kind of got like a primer for it, not just the next game, but also for the live watch party game. So I'm even more pumped for that one now after watching the way the Kraken can play against this Anaheim Ducks team. Good stuff all the way around. Just all the way around. Good stuff from there. Let's go ahead and jump into the chat because it's going off already. I love to see it. And it's positive this time. Yay. It's been a while. First things first, though, got to hit up the super chats. First one from B. Let's go. Joey shut out Maddie and Tolvanen clicking. Winterton and Morrison look great. Really hope we get a similar performance on Thursday since I'm going to that game. So happy tonight. Definitely B. I think that's going to be a fun game to be at for sure. Yeah, I mean, lots of stuff. Joey, right, getting the shutout. I was a little worried that the rest of the team's play was going to start affecting the goaltenders just because they weren't really defending well in front of them. They were giving them a lot of shots. They were getting them chased from games, right? We've seen that happen to both of these guys now during this 8-game losing streak. So I was really worried that, you know, by the time the skaters were all going to figure things out, the goaltending might have taken a hit. Not the case. Joey looked as good as ever in this one. Yes, he got some help from his defenseman. Yes, he got some help from the post, but that's just hockey. Like, that happens to everybody and for everybody. And it doesn't take away from the fact that Joey was able to pick up another shutout. Everybody gets to have donuts tomorrow. Love that. So definitely a great game from Joey. Maddie picking up a handful of points there, I think is 3, right? Great game for him. Great to get him back on the board. Great to have him back producing, trying to be that difference maker that we all want to see him become in his NHL career. And, you know, if he's able to kind of close out the year strong, playing like the way he played tonight, I think that'll be something that's going to alleviate a lot of the fears and concerns that we might have had for him going into the offseason. And then, you know, and like you said, the chemistry with Tolvanen is apparent, and that is something that's going to need to continue. And then Winterton and Morrison, they did look great, B. Like, they looked absolutely fantastic. Ryan Winterton is such a great two-way player, especially for a winger. The way he backchecks is truly special. I love the instincts that he has when it comes to backchecking from Ryan Winterton. And Logan Morrison played like Logan Morrison. That's what I was excited for. He just has a nose for where to be, where the puck's going to be, where he can set up to give himself some time and space to get a shot. I was really happy to see that translated to the NHL game. He's not the fastest guy out there. He's maybe not the most agile guy out there, but he has really, really good instincts. And I like the fact that he just, you know, the puck gets there, he takes a shot, right? Like, he's not waiting for anything. He's just going to go ahead and fire it. And I'd love to see that from him tonight. I'm really happy that he kind of, his game carried over with him to the NHL. I think that's very, very important. Got a super chat here from Andrew. I'm going to go to where that is, see if there's a comment around it there, Andrew. If not, I appreciate the super chat anyway. They were alive and happy tonight. Yay. Yeah, exactly. I mean, this team looked very different than what we'd seen, right? They came out a little slow. I felt like the Ducks outworked them in the first 10 minutes, but then the Kraken were able to kind of turn things around. They started to see the gaps in the openings that the Ducks pretty bad defense was going to give them, and they started taking advantage of it. And I feel like once you get that first goal, you could just see it all kind of clicked for them, and the confidence came back. They were willing to try a little bit more. They were willing to go to different areas of the ice because they knew it wasn't going to be contested. And then they just kind of all got their mojo back, and they just kept going. I was really, really happy about that. Chip with the super chat. I love seeing the support Joey got from the fans and the team. Joey Chance are back, and Maddie Borgen stepping up to cover Joey's blind spots. TKHB, yes, it's I loved hearing the Joey chants again. Like, that was so huge. I didn't realize that it was going to emotionally affect me as much as it ended up affecting me. Hearing those chants at CPA again, I can only imagine what it was like to be in the building. But that is, you know, one of the things that this team is missing. And credit to the fans in the building for being there and for chanting Joey's name, right? Like, there's a lot of fan bases that still would have been like, look, you guys have been playing pretty bad, you know, you've got to earn our respect back, kind of thing, right? And CPA was not like that at all. CPA wants something to cheer for. These fans have wanted something to cheer for. We've all wanted something to cheer for, and tonight they finally gave us that, and everybody was there. And I gotta think that meant a lot to Joey Decord to hear those chants, and really to everybody on the team as well. So yeah, no, it is really, really good stuff. Light with the super chat. Both our franchise centers got first stars in their respective games as the Birds annihilated the Wranglers. Romeo Ty got 14 minutes. Hack let him play. Yeah, like Logan Morrison, they did. He let them play. He gave them minutes. He gave them a chance. Yes, I'm sure the score helped a little bit later on in that game. But he stuck by his word, which was that they were going to play. And I think that, you know, given the way and the overall situation that the team has been right now, like, we know that the call-up supposedly wasn't a message to guys to bring those guys in. But I feel like getting them out there, playing them, letting Logan Morrison be part of that power play unit, right? And he looked pretty good out there on the power play. Hextall didn't have to put him on a power play unit. He put him on the power play unit, and he looked good. So I think that, you know, it was really solid stuff. But yes, I was really happy with their ice time and the amount of time that they were out there. And to be honest, I really thought they earned it, right? Logan Morrison earned a lot of that. He really, really played well. And yeah, the Firebirds are just something else. I love it. I love it. And Shane Wright doing his thing. Shoeshine, check the expiration date on that lemon lime Gatorade. It's been a while. That it has. I think we're okay. I don't even see one on here. Well, that's maybe a little bit concerning, but I think we're fine. I think we'll be okay here. Should I go ahead and crack it now? Is that what we should be doing? But yeah, it has definitely been a while. Very, very excited about this. I could use the electrolytes. Oh, that was good. I don't normally like to do the dead air for that long, but it felt appropriate. It felt like the right thing to do. Just chug that. Oh, man. I feel like I could chug three more for all the Kraken goals that they scored tonight, but that might be a bad idea, especially this close to bedtime. But I appreciate that, Shoeshine. Sergeant Pickles with the super chat. Makes me excited to go on Thursday. Finally a W. I hope you have a fantastic time, Sergeant Pickles. Should be a really good game. And yes, finally getting that win. Comic Bitch, keep playing the new Warriors. Bring up more. The youth movement, right? RJ's been talking about it. We heard Glenn talk about it when he was on the post game a couple games back. Bring up young guys. Get younger as a team, right? They're young, they're hungry, they're excited, right? And they go out there and they do all the little things because they're trying to earn ice time. They're trying to earn a roster spot. And that's a lot of what the Kraken were struggling with, was they were kind of letting go of some of those little things that you need to be on each and every game. Having these young guys in the lineup, maybe it wakes up the veterans, and certainly the young guys themselves are certainly playing the right way. So I'm right there with you, Comic Binge. Riley with the super chat. Did anyone else appreciate Olofsson's sneaky good performance on the back end as well? Big Cat style smoothness and sound positioning. He is a really good fill-in guy. I think Olofsson could be like the seventh defender on a team. I think that's probably realistically where he should be. I don't know that you want to give him a ton of ice time all the time, just because some of the skating isn't always there. He's a smooth skater. I'm with you, Riley, but sometimes the power and stuff like that isn't always there for him, but he is the perfect guy to come in, fill in for a handful of games if you need him to, play that 15 minutes a night if you need him to, all that kind of stuff. He is just rock solid, and he is dependable when you put him into the lineup there, right? He is dependable for, you know, especially if you're playing at home and you can get the matchups right, like Dave Hackstall was able to do tonight. He's just like a really solid option. I've always been a big fan of Olofsson's game, for sure. Happy you brought that up, Riley, and thank you for the super chat. That Kraken fan page official with the super chat. Finally, the kid line, as Nick calls it. Looked amazing. The future is so bright, guys. Go Kraken. Go Kraken indeed. And yes, the kid line, they played up to you know, any expectations we had, and they probably exceeded them. And like I said, it's not even just like, oh, wow, they like went out there and they're just like, you know, a little bit more energetic than some of the other guys that we've seen for the Kraken recently, because obviously that's the case. But it's also, like I said, it's the other stuff. It's the stuff like Logan Morrison willing to shoot the puck, something we just don't really see often on this team, but I think it's something that they need, and kind of how smart he is in the offensive zone. It is the two-way play from Ryan Winterton, and him wanting to back check aggressively and him wanting to help cover things defensively, especially coming from a winger like that. Like, that's so impressive. And again, it kind of sends that message to the rest of the team. There's a reason they called these guys up. Of all the guys they could have called up, there's a reason they called those two guys up specifically. And I feel like it was really the right move. And we certainly saw that tonight. And then Light with the super chat. Also, I think the end of the game said a lot about this team. Everyone trying to set up Logan Morrison for a goal. That's what's been missing. Made me happy. It was really fun that they were trying to get him that goal there at the end. I mean, when he got it up high and he tried to walk the blue line, he was looking for that shooting angle. It just wasn't there. I was so bummed. I was really excited for him. But it is. I mean, that is one of the things that they've been missing, is just that energy, that excitement, that... There's just a special thing when you've got a guy out there who's playing well, and you know he can be rewarded for that play, and you're trying to help him get rewarded for that play, and everybody's kind of working as a unit. That's what it is. The Kraken trying to get Logan Morrison a goal there was the most playing as a team that we have seen from them in weeks, right? Like, they finally, collectively, had a goal that they were all working towards, right? Guys were trying to give him space. They were trying to give him time. They were trying to get him the puck in good scoring opportunities. We haven't seen that from this team. For, you know, not just for, like, anybody else, but just for each other and for themselves at times, right? It hasn't always looked like they've been playing cohesively with the common goal of, we need to score here. We need to win this game, right? That has been missing. And it wasn't missing there, right? They went out there and they wanted to do that for Logan Morrison. And we saw how good they can play when they play that way. I'm really, really happy about that. Patrick with the super chat. Lindsay broke the curse. Lindsay, did you break into the locker room and splash the hat with seawater? Is this what happened? Okay, I'm scanning chat now for Lindsay. Thank you for the super chat there, Patrick. Lindsay, Kraken have won every game I've been in the building for, including two Joey shutouts. Section 224 was lit. Okay, Lindsay's just got to go to every game the rest of the season. Or maybe we should start saving and so that we can send Lindsay to all 41 home games next season. Actually, that might be more realistic and probably better long term for the Kraken. But that is fantastic, Lindsay. Glad you were able to be there and glad you were able to help the team get the win and Joey pick up another shutout. Let's go. I mean, that is perfect stuff right there. And thank you, everybody, for the super chats. I mean, kicking things off with 12 super chats. That is impressive. And I'm very, very happy. And thank you all so much. Very, very grateful. That was the word I was looking for. Obviously, I'm happy, but I am grateful. Zoe kicking off the regular chat with one shutout. Four goals and three rookies. We've talked about the rookies. We've talked about the Joey shutout. The four goals, though. We knew that the Kraken were better than one goal a game. Maybe not a ton better, but we knew that they were better than that. And it had to be a matter of time. We saw that they were putting up a ton of shots. They continue to do that in this one. I mean, the shot difference in this one, I mean, 3-1 in favor of the Kraken. 36 shots on goal to a Ducks 12. It was really nice for the guys to finally get rewarded, finally get some bounces, because that's the other thing, right? You get the Jordan Eberle power play goal. Yeah, it goes in off the Ducks defender. It's fine, though. Like, that happens. That's been happening to you. It's about time it happened for the Kraken, right? Like, it counts just as much as anything else. I don't want to even though I'm bringing it up as a bounce and it went in off a Ducks defender, I don't care. Like, that's the stuff that's this team has in part been missing, right? Some of it's been effort, some of it's been all that stuff, but also there's been an element of they haven't had the vibes and they haven't been able to channel the luck of the universe either. And they were able to do that tonight. And then obviously for the other one, where it goes off Minchikov's stick and kicks right out to Oliver Bjorkstrand and he's able to score. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that they needed. They also needed to have a bunch of power plays, especially early in a game. So, thank you, Anaheim Ducks, for just not being able to control yourself. That was cool. That was really cool. Sean, maybe Hack is not the problem. Love seeing the youth dominate. This would be a game that would kind of send you in the direction of it being more roster based than Hackstall based. Yes, which is certainly one of the conversations that we have been having during the losing streak. Right. Is it Hackstall? Is it the roster? Is it the guys? What's going on here? Right. This is one that would kind of lend you towards look at the difference that just adding in a couple guys that are going to, like I said, do the right things. These are guys just doing the right things out there, doing the little things. And it does. It makes a big difference. Logan Morrison, even when he's not finding those kind of soft spots to sit in and wait to be able to fire a puck, he's really good at helping create space for other guys. He's really good at kind of, going through and just bumping a defender as he's passing by. And all of a sudden, the puck carrier has that extra second to make a decision or make a play or take a shot themselves. There's a lot of that kind of stuff that was missing from this lineup. Some of it's just never really been there. But some of it has just been, they've lacked the energy, they've lacked the effort to do it. And I think bringing in those young guys really helped that out. Maddie, I wanted Morrison to get a goal so bad. I did too, Maddie. That would have been fantastic. Young Merte, that push at the end to try to get Morrison his first NHL goal was, and then it didn't put in the emoji, but I can imagine what it is. It was really good stuff there for sure. Sam, I'm guessing your Gatorade addiction can finally be satisfied, Dylan. And to be fair, being forced to go cold turkey is always problematic. Great crack a dub though. Yes, we are all good. I feel good. I probably should have grabbed two. I really should have just binge on it. Coming back to him. Let's see. That feels better from Stacy. Boy, doesn't it? Boy, doesn't it? And Dexter with the Logan chance. I love it. I love it. The contrast of how they played this game compared to the last eight is pretty stark. Keep the young guys up for Maddie. I think they're going to stay up for a while. You don't have to worry about, ELC slide years and stuff with them. You don't have to worry about burning a year off their contracts. Their contract's going to get, this year counts anyway. So you might as well keep them up for the rest of the year, as far as I'm concerned. Ricky, all year long, the Kraken message has been the same. Play the kids and Hack is still part of the problem. Okay, well, I know you've been talking about play the kids. Kids did play good tonight. I still think long term, the kids aren't necessarily going to be enough. But yes, you've been saying it, right? Like, nobody can deny it. We've got a year's worth of receipts for you there, Ricky. I'm there for you. And hey, credit to Hack for tonight, right? Like, he played them. Julia, thank God, not a perfect game, but wow, it's nice to have some positive vibes around here again. It's really nice. It's really nice. I'm very, very happy that things changed there. Jeff, that was nice to see you. Definitely brought the energy for sure. I like it when they try new players from Striatic. It is better to try new players sometimes than maybe just a new lineup over and over and over and over and over again, right? Like, it's kind of nice just to get some new people in there. I think that was good. Riley, Brandon Tanev has the hands of a beer leaguer and he knows it. Keep Morrison and Winterton around next season. I thought it was interesting that he stayed in the lineup, I think, a little bit. And then interesting that there were some chances like that 2-on-1 where Yanni was trying to get it over to Tanev. And again, like there were still those issues, right, in this game. Like, not as great as everything else was, this was the perfect get right game for them. And they were fortunate to be playing a really bad Ducks team. And that's partly why this all changed. But there were still some of those times where I was just like, come on. Like, it's one of those nights, Yanni, just take the shot. Like, you're fine. You're good. You don't need to force a pass that gets intercepted over to Brandon Tanev. Like, you could just kind of go for it. Edward, can we play Anaheim every week? Well, we play them one more time this week and we play them next week. So you're as much as we can, we are trying to here, Edward. That is for sure. Steven, Anaheim was great medicine tonight and Maddie was strictly effing business tonight. One of the best games he's ever played, in my opinion. I agree with that, Maddie. Maddie was the guy that really, I feel like, the confidence got going for first, right? Obviously, Tolvanen, it's great. He scores for the first time in 12 games, I believe it was. That's really solid stuff. But Maddie was the guy that it felt like, okay, here we go. You know, he's feeling it. He's trying a little bit more. We saw him kind of, you know, he elevated his game is the bottom line, right? He elevated his game. He tried to be a difference maker, and he was. And it's one of those things, like, finally, like, we're seeing it. We all believed in him. Like, it's so weird. Normally you talk about the situation, like, a guy does that and everybody's surprised because nobody thought he could. This was one where we all knew he had it in him and we were just waiting for it to pop up. And I guess, you know, 71 games into the season, better late than never. I don't know. Schultz with the super chat here, a win, but at what lottery cost? I don't care about the lottery cost right now, right? I think the Kraken more or less locked into, you know, they weren't going to drop really further than eight. That's realistically probably where they should be anyway, just as a team in the standings. I'm willing to take the win at the lottery cost right now. We all needed this. Look how happy we've all been. And I know you've got the laughing emojis there. I'm not trying to take you super seriously on that one, but I know what you're saying. I don't think they're going to run the gauntlet the rest of the season and really, really screw themselves too bad. Andrew with the super chat, thanks for your post games. You're very welcome, Andrew. Thank you very much for the two super chats tonight. That is greatly appreciated. Really is. Let's see. A win, huh? From Shoeshine. Yeah, we got one. We got one. Dance party sponsored by the Kid Line. Love it, Rebecca. And in a lot of ways, it really, really was. Let's see. Maddie, the soccer style kick save by Borgen was pretty sweet. I'm to Borgen as Dylan is to Larson. Yes, that was a great save from Will Borgen, of all people. He made a great save. They really did do very well tonight. The defense kind of helping out Joey in some of those spots. There was three chances that Anaheim really had where they were essentially looking at empty nets. And for one reason or another, whether it was the post or the Kraken being in the crease, they weren't able to convert on any of those. So again, it's a little worrying long-term for the Kraken. Like, they got to shore some of that up. The defense still isn't great, all that kind of stuff. But in that instance, I mean, Will Borgen came up huge for sure. Drew, Joey shut out Morrison attempts, Winterton effort, and Cartier 87 mile an hour slap shot in the game. Firebirds train him up right. They really do. That coaching staff is so elite. And it's not just the coaching staff, right? Like, two of those three people you mentioned were undrafted free agents signed by the Kraken, right? Like, so it's also the analytics and scouting department that the Kraken have to identify some of these guys, get them into the organization. Ryan Winterton, again, another one, right? Draft pick, right? And then also the coaching staff down there really helping them out. But it really, to have situations like this where you can get a group effort like that, it really speaks volumes about how the whole organization needs to be working together and how solid this organization is when it comes to identifying talent, coaching up talent, getting talent ready for their big moment. And I love to see that. They're also perfect on bobblehead nights this season. Love to see it. That, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. RG and I were talking about it earlier. We didn't want to say anything, obviously, before the game. Didn't want to try to jinx it or anything. But it is true. I feel like maybe that's where some of these bounces came from. It was just the luck of bobblehead night and the universe, you know, knowing that the Kraken got a win on bobblehead night. It's certainly fine. Let's see, Stratic. I don't even care about the win. I'm just stoked about the data we're finally collecting on the kids and the potential future. I feel hope. It's always good to feel hope. The worst is when you don't feel hope. I've talked about that before. That is the worst place to be as a sports fan, really anywhere in life, when you just feel hopeless. That's generally when you're at your lowest. But certainly in sports, that is something you're worried about. Congrats to the Ducks on setting the new Kraken franchise record for fewest shots faced by our goalie for Fusion Mix. Is that really? I mean, 12 is extremely low. So yes, thanks to the Ducks for helping us out there. Definitely happy about that. Let's see. Cartier, Morrison, Winterton for fourth line next season. It's possible. it's really possible we might see that next year. It'll depend on training camp and then kind of some of the roster moves that the guys make here, the front office makes over the course of the offseason. Let's see. Sam, if anyone paid attention to the Hamilton championship run, you knew that Logan Morrison was a player, and it's good he's being realized. Also, we've got quite a decent track record on undrafted free agents. The fact that we have two of them now, that the organization has signed and then produced through the AHL and gotten them to the NHL, especially as quickly as both of those guys were, it's pretty unheard of. Like, that doesn't really happen. It's really, really cool. It's really, really cool. And I know there's other undrafted guys on the roster, like Yanni Gourde stuff, but for the Kraken to have signed and developed guys like that, I mean, that's both their first years too, right? Like Ty Cartier last year was his first year, and then Logan Morrison his first year here, I believe. So to be able to do that, to identify a guy, bring him in, get him ready for the NHL in under one season, Like I said, it comes down to identifying the right guys and then developing them. But like, wow, it's really, really cool. It's really, really cool. Enjoy it, because it does not happen like that very often. It's really, really cool. Julie, I hope they can keep this up. The last few weeks have been so demoralizing that I don't really trust this to last. But I really hope I'm wrong. Even if they lose, I hope they keep playing with life. I'm with you, Julia, right? Like, the losses, yeah, they're not going to win every game the rest of the season, right? Like, that's not going to happen. That's not realistic. But I want to just see the effort. I want to see some of the stuff that we saw tonight from them that we had been missing. Because again, like I was saying, it was the hope that was gone. And that was what was really kind of killing us. That's what was so demoralizing. And with this lineup and with the way the guys played tonight, you have that hope and you have that excitement back. And that's always good. Let's see. Ooh, of the young blood in the lineup. I kind of like that as a line name, young blood. That is some good stuff. Maddie, me and my wife were chanting chug for you. I appreciate that. Definitely, definitely appreciate that there. Jenna, I love Maddie eating his fish to the little girl with the "it's my birthday" sign. He looked serious and dialed in tonight and had the results to show for it. And it was great to see. That is a great story, Jenna. Thanks for sharing that. Really happy for that little girl. He was dialed in. He got going really early on. I think getting that assist at the beginning of the game was really important for him to kind of help wake him up and get him energized and good to go there. And look, it extended beyond just the 3 points for him tonight. He got 2 shots on goal, which, as you know, I'm big on him getting more shots on goal. He was also 72.7% on the faceoff tonight. Like, he was really feeling it in every place on the ice that he could. It was a really great game there. Patrick with the super chat. Joey only got third star with so few shots on goal. 10 more for stopping the potential own goal. Yes, that is pretty funny. It's not often that you're going to get a goaltender end up the third star when they have a shutout. That is definitely not a normal occurrence, but I feel like on tonight it makes a little bit of sense, just given the amount of shots faced and everything like that. But that is pretty funny. Thanks for the second super chat there, Patrick. I appreciate that one. Becca, RJ is going to be a while, right? Players and press have a game they actually want to talk about. It does appear so. Like, this is the longest that we have had to wait for RJ in quite some time. It's been definitely a while as we're approaching the half hour mark here. Coop with the super chat. Sorry I missed the beginning, so I'm behind. Super happy for the home fans. Maddie Revenge Tour starts now. Is Hack safe now that we beat the vaunted Ducks? I think, like RJ and I talked about it yesterday on the pod, I think Hacksaw's pretty much safe through the rest of the year. Like we've been talking about it, like, if they got the win tonight, he was going to be safe the rest of the year. I think he's going to be safe for a while, especially after they made the roster moves and he was kind of talking about the things that he was talking about. I think that's the way it is. But yes, it was good to get the win. And then, of course, speaking of the devil, get RJ popping in here. RJ, look at you. You're all lit up with the Kraken win signs again. I forgot what that looked like.
I know, it's been a while. Actually, I'm in a slightly different spot here. I tried going a little further down thinking that might make it better, but no, it's just so powerful, Dylan. I can't get away from the Kraken wind lights.
That is for sure. So we just talked about the fact that you were going to be a little bit late here because, the team finally has something they want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the case. It did take a little bit longer than usual because, yeah, I mean, there were more answers because it felt like something different happened in this game. I mean, as far as the overall mood of everyone, it felt a little bit more like relief than jubilation. You know, the guys weren't absolutely thrilled, but it felt like a group of guys who, you know, were happy they were able to smile again, at least somewhat. You know, and you saw that whether it was Ellie Tolvanen talking about that give and go with Maddie, where it was kind of the opposite of that Boston play earlier in the season, and, you know, being able to laugh about that. I guess the most relief guy seemed like Matty Beniers when we talked to him, you know, because he was smiling, he was having a good time, and it's been a while since we've seen that look on Matty Beniers' face, so that was good to see.
Yeah, and how could he not? I mean, 3 points tonight. I talked about it, how great he was on faceoffs, really up and down all over the place in this game. Matty Beniers, he woke up and he tried to be a difference maker, and I think he was.
Yeah, he was. I mean, this is one of the, you know, you can point to like 4 or 5 games for him this season where he was that legit difference maker in a game. You look at the Boston game as another one where he certainly was. But yeah, tonight he was all over the place and he was generating offense everywhere.
Yeah, no, he was fantastic. Chip, I don't even remember who has the hat to give.
Oh, I don't remember either. So they were taking it away right as we got into the room. So I'm sorry, I can't tell you who got the hat, because the trainer already had it and was taking it away. My guess would be Logan Morrison, just first career game. Maybe you'd want to give it to the kid. I don't know.
Well, and it was a good game too. Like, if you want to talk about him and Ryan Winterton here, I've talked about them a lot, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on them.
Yeah, no, I thought they were great in this one. I thought that line did their job and provided a much needed jolt, right? They had a few good scoring chances. We also did talk to Logan after the game, and he said he thought his line played pretty well. And he was happy with his performance in the game. And of course, talked about how great it was, you know, to play in his first NHL game. And he said he hadn't got the chance to talk to his family yet afterward, but I did see his family arriving, going into the locker room as we were leaving. So I'm sure they're going to have a great moment there, you know, kind of reuniting because they were at this game. But as far as the line overall, I think they had the best numbers in terms of whether it was expected goals percentage for that line. And I think the shot attempts for that line was also 14-4 in their favor. And I'm sure everybody looked good in this game, but that line certainly did. And I was happy to kind of see that youth infusion. I hope that's the kind of thing we see more of next season.
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of on board with that. So definitely some people taking some victory laps who have been, you know, kind of calling for this for a while now. I mean, still some people being like with Jenna here at the end of her comment, and the Coachella Valley Firebird guys should have been up here sooner. I mean, if they were going to do this and they were going to kind of help wake up everybody, kind of put that fear in them a little bit, right? It is a little surprising that they didn't go for this move sooner, just given how obvious the change is.
Right. I mean, yeah, knowing what it did and knowing what was at stake, I do think it speaks to, you know, how the coaching staff and probably the organization as a whole really trust the vets over the young guys, but maybe they should.
Yes. Maddie, I felt pretty meh about the super senior line of Schwartz, McCann, and Eberle. So we've talked about the kid line and how great they played. I'm looking at the stuff now, and you're correct. I mean, the Cartier-Morrison-Winterton line was really solid. The Beniers line was super solid when it came to, like, expected goals percentage. That Schwartz-McCann-Eberle line, though, was not. Pretty bad, actually, in a game where the Ducks really didn't challenge you that much. And that line really struggled. And also the Ducks were a mess defensively too. Like, you should have been able to muster more than 0.2 expected goals for, given the firepower on that line.
Yeah, that it, at various times this season, it's felt like the Kraken. One of the lines has always been the leftovers line. That's there as a result of other lines being tweaked to be how you want them. And I felt like that was this line tonight, and the results, you know, kind of went accordingly. The Ducks, I don't know how much you addressed it earlier on in the post game, and I don't want to take too much away from the Kraken and what they did tonight. It's huge. They got back in the win column, but the Ducks were awful. Absolutely abysmal tonight, especially in their D zone. I don't know why they're not right there with San Jose and Chicago as one of the worst teams in the league. They looked like a team full of players that didn't know where they were supposed to be, that didn't have any system, that didn't have any guidance. I mean, a lot of the things we'd been saying about the Kraken, but it was a whole nother level for the Ducks tonight. So I'm kind of hoping they give a better effort next game, just because I feel like the Kraken need more of a challenge. If they go out and play the same way next game, it's just going to be another cakewalk.
Yeah, well, but maybe the Kraken, that'd be good for them. They can build a, you know, a little bit of momentum that way before they got to play, what, Dallas after that. Oof.
Plus, I think they'll need a little bit more of a step up. You don't want two games that easy in a row, I feel like.
Yeah, and I feel like they probably will. I've seen the Ducks play better than that this season. I think they'll get there. But yeah, I mean, they were really bad. And, you know, I'll take it. And on top of that, Kraken also had all the puck luck of this one. I mean, Anaheim had three chances at basically empty nets and somehow couldn't get them in. The Kraken obviously get two goals directly off of some pretty bad bounces for Anaheim. So, like, there is that component to this game. But, yes, for the most part, we've just been celebrating and just going, you know what? Like, games like that happen, RJ. And you got to count just as much of the standings. Those goals count just as much as any other goal. You just take it.
Okay, then I won't be too much of a buzzkill then. I could be, but I won't be.
I know. I mean, I don't know what the vibe was like up on the press bridge, but that's been the vibe here.
Okay.
Sergey with the super chat. I still don't get why they moved Wennberg. Is he better than Berkey? I mean, that's a little bit of a loaded question there.
Yeah. I mean, well, they moved Wennberg because he wasn't coming back next season and this team's not going to make the playoffs. And so you have to get something for him asset wise. As for him versus Berkey, I mean, they just play such different roles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
no, it's tough to compare them. I'm with you. His contract was up. He wasn't going to resign. They probably weren't going to resign him either. I don't know that it was the fit. And realistically, you're going to need to free up the center spot for Shane Wright next year. Maybe Logan Morrison. Also, you're going to want a roster spot for him down the middle. So I think it just kind of made sense all the way around. And then, you know, as far as if you're trying to allude at the idea of trading Wennberg versus trading Burakovsky, Burakovsky's contract's pretty untradeable right
now. Yeah, Wennberg had positive value. Burakovsky has negative value on the trade market.
Definitely. Via Ren, I don't know how, I don't know. Feed the rookie as the best offensive plan doesn't say great things about Hackstall / Paul McFarland's systems. Obviously, they were trying to really get Logan Morrison that goal late, but earlier in the game too, especially on the power play, they were trying to feed him. I personally think, RJ, it's just because they haven't had somebody who is so quick to just shoot the puck all year. Like, he's not thinking pass at all when he's out there and he has time and space. It's just, I've put myself in this position because I want to score.
Right. He was decisive with the puck, and it was refreshing to see on the power play. If I'm a bit of a pessimist, I wonder how long it takes before they coach that out of him. Because we've seen that with the new players they put on the power play, whether it's Ryker Evans, Tomáš Tatar, it seems like when the new guys come in, they're decisive with the puck and they just, you know, make decisions and it goes really well. And then after a few games, they kind of sink back into the normal power play system. But I'm hoping that doesn't happen with Morrison.
I don't know that it would, and I don't know, honestly, just given how bad the team was and everything, that really, like, the coaching staff would be that pushy about it. Like, I think at this point, because you're not playing for anything the rest of the way, you might as well just let them do their thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm glad that we can finally say this about some younger players. These are the benefits you can get out of these games that aren't going to matter to you in the standings, really, is letting those players develop and kind of seeing what you have in them.
Definitely. Steven, Tatar doesn't need to dress for the rest of the season. If he's not on the first line, he has no use. Keep these kids up and let them cook. I think that's partly why Tatar is not going to stay with the team next year. But keep in mind, we talked about this when Tatar was brought over, RJ, right? But historically, late in the season and come playoff time, he does get scratched. Like, that is what happens with him. Usually it's because he's defensively unreliable and his team in the playoffs can't really afford to have him out there, but kind of a you know, 180 from that situation here, and yet same situation at the same time.
Right. Normally it's for more defensively responsible veterans, you know, normally fourth liners. But in this case, yeah, it's the young kids coming up. I do feel a little bad for him, though, because he hasn't played poorly. It's just, for whatever reason, in all the situations he's in, it just doesn't make sense for him to be in the lineup at this time of the season.
Yeah, it is just one of those ones. Jason just got home from the game wondering if the Kraken played better or if they just played the Ducks. I think it's a bit of both.
I think it's a bit of both. I won't point to, like, the ratio I think of either.
Yeah, you don't need to give percentages, RJ.
Okay.
we'll stay out of that. Big super chat here from Elizabeth. Really appreciate this one. Relieved for the boys. They needed that. Thanks, kid squids. But yikes, some of those same defensive issues. Why aren't they being addressed? I would love to know that too, Elizabeth.
You're tempting me with this one, Elizabeth, because yes, especially early on in the game, I really expected to see more of a push in the first 5 minutes or so with the guys coming out motivated. But you saw there were turnovers that led to dynamite chances for the Ducks. That McTavish breakaway, you know, chief among them, and he hadn't managed to shoot the puck way wide on that. But if that goes in, I think this is a totally different game, and you get that feeling of, oh no, it's happening again. And then the defensive lapses just kind of continue from there, but they're lucky that didn't go in.
Right. And you look at how the Kraken were able to get going, what kind of finally kickstarted them. And it's that first goal that you score the other way, right? The Elli Tolvanen goal, which only happens because their defense is somehow worse than yours. Nobody's there. Nobody's there pressuring behind the net for the pass. Nobody's there in front to stop that goal from going in. Like, just there was nobody like in frame. It was weird.
Just completely abandoned the slot. And they're just the gaps in the D zone the Ducks were leaving. I mean, you know, it made the Kraken defense during the losing streak look great. I don't know what to even tell them at this point. It was bad.
It was against
most teams, I feel like you don't get out of that first period up 2-0.
Yeah. And as for the things, like, again, they're obviously you're now without Riker and Vince Dunn. So losing two defensemen like that does hurt you. I talked earlier about Olofsson. I thought he had a pretty good game in this one, RJ. Like, he's just a great fill-in guy. He's dependable for the 15 minutes you need him for. But yeah, at some point, the defense needs to be addressed. You can't have guys enter another season playing this way and making some of these same kind of young guy mistakes when they're not young. Like, they're not where the rookies all are, right? Rookies are all at forward. These guys aren't rookies. These guys are veterans. These guys are on decent contracts. They shouldn't be making some of these mistakes. All right. Got a super chat here from Riley. Eberle extension looking worse and worse unless he can brainwash Barzal into signing in Seattle. We're going negative now all of a sudden. We won tonight. We broke the losing skid, everybody.
I'm sorry. Did I do this? I was trying not to do this.
Shame. It's okay. You were seeing red, literally, when those lights were flashing on you.
Yeah.
The extension is what it is. I haven't even thought about that. All the talk about Barzal and getting him to come to Seattle, RJ, I hadn't even thought about the fact that, yeah, Ebbs played with him.
That's true. I mean, the Kraken have a couple guys.
He was dad.
Yeah, that's true. He was dad. I suppose that could be a nice little influence there if he was going to get traded, but still don't see it happening. But hey, it would be worth it just for that.
Pay him
whatever. You could have paid him $6 million over 3 years. It'd be worth it if you could make that come together.
Definitely, definitely. And then Edward with the super chat. The kids are all right. Yes, they are. They are more than all right. They're good. they're good, and they're approaching great. I also love that. Let's see. Steven, it can't be ignored that the team did a prolonged salute to the fans after the game. I'm certain the message that the fans are a little disgruntled has been delivered. I'm excited to hear that, RJ. And then I know after morning skate, Hackstall addressing the media made sure to mention the fans, I think more than he ever has combined in this one.
Yeah, I think over the last 3 days or so, he's mentioned the fans more than he has combined, because really, that's what the players have to play for at this point. Hackstall said that they had a lot of disappointment after falling out of the playoff race. And that's, of course, understandable. But he said you need to step back and put it all in perspective. Right now, you have to go out and play for each other and then play for the fans who have been so awesome all season. And that's really what it's all about. I think that message was heard loud and clear by the players. You know, they know who they're playing for right now, and you could see it in that salute.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm really happy to hear that. Coop with the got to enjoy the W, but keep things in perspective, and some agreements there with that thought. And it's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We'll balance each other out here, RJ. Milo reminding us, yes, it was Berkey because he dropped the hat, and that's when the curse started. So yes, Berkey would have had the hat last. That is for sure. Now, Lindsay was at the game, RJ, and they're undefeated when Lindsay attends games. So that's that, you know, Lindsay helped break the curse there, thanks to a ticket from Patrick, by the way. So give Patrick an assist on the breaking of the curse. And Lindsay also dipped her hat in seawater before the game. So there we go.
There it is. Lindsay always has the prescription there.
Yep. I was really close. I thought about it probably too late. I knew you were already at CPA, but I was like, why didn't we have you just get like a little like travel, you know, bottle, right?
Yeah.
Your toiletry bag, get some salt water in it and just pass it to like Stucky.
Yeah.
Just give it to him and just be like, here, the fans think, you know, maybe a little bit of this on the hat, some seawater might do things. He'd do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's all about the fans. I think that'd be great. Yeah. No, I didn't think about that in time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we didn't need it. Lindsay took care of it.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Let's see. Wendberg got them the most amount of assists for a rental. Sorry, okay, yeah, answering the question there. Big difference from the last time the kids were up. Winterton and Morrison combined for as many shots in this game as Winterton and Shane had shot attempts in their first three games. It's the Ducks, but still. Yeah, I mean, one of the things we talked about, and obviously the score, I think, helped in this one a little bit, RJ, but they got a good amount of ice time. Like, they were given a lot of leash to work with.
Yeah, I think Morrison got about 14 minutes or so, 14, which is 21. Awesome. Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping to see. Yes, the game script helps a lot in that. But I think one thing that being in this spot in the standings does is it kind of helps you with that hesitation for the young players. I think if the Kraken were still in the thick of the playoff race and those two guys had to come up, I feel like they would have been a lot more conservative, and the coaching staff, you know, the message, whether it was implicit or explicit, would be don't make mistakes. You know, yeah. Just don't try and do too much, versus I think in this one, they just let the guys go and do their thing.
Yeah. No, it's definitely true. Let's see. I would like to see Shane center Burakovsky next year. I think that could be fun. I think that could be fun too, just because Berkey could really help set up Shane, right? I think that'd be a lot of fun fusion mix. Let's see. Riley, Kraken and Devils are very similar the past two seasons. Strong regular seasons, winning first round last year, now falling off a cliff this season. Should we try trading with them this offseason and stealing a Holtz or Mercer off them for a veteran?
I mean, if you can buy low on one of those young guys, it might be something to look at. I know Timo Meier's had a bad season too. Maybe if you could get him discounted, because I just don't know what other options are available. And at least they have some guys who have shown in the past they can be that difference maker.
Yeah, I'm always for those kinds of moves. Viren, yes, fire the power play coach before he ruins any more young guys. Agreeing with your worries there from when you first kind of joined in. Fusion Mix, my nemesis is whoever's in charge of the defense. Leach, I believe. It's like the playoffs last year made everyone forget how atrocious the slot defense was most of last year and again now. It was bad last year, Fusion Mix. It was not this bad. Like, their interior defense this year is so bad, and it's just gotten worse somehow as the year's gone on. It's, I know, you know, we've talked about a lot the idea of like Alexiak playing more physical and stuff, and everybody's always about that just because he's got the big body. I don't think that it's he needs to play necessarily more physical in the way a lot of people are meaning it when they say that, but I think this defense as a whole needs to play more physical inside, right? It's not always about laying out a big hit on somebody in open ice or against the boards. Sometimes it's just like bodying up somebody, yeah, and forcing them out of the dangerous area. Like, you can do that.
Yeah, or even just taking away their stick, you know, just getting right next to them, yeah, lifting their stick up off the ice so it's not a target.
Yeah, like there's a lot that they could be doing that they're not really doing right now. And I think that's one of the things that I would tell them is just like, you can make contact with a guy without laying him out and without taking a penalty. And that's what you have to do. Like, that's how you play defense in the modern NHL, at least on the inside like that. Yeah. And really the history of the NHL, forget about the modern NHL, go back 70 years and that was the case. Let's see. Coop, Ducks playing 3D chess for draft position, not out of the realm of possibility. I don't know that they were worried about the Kraken catching them.
Yeah, no, that wasn't going to happen. I think the Kraken are still, what, 16, well, now 18 or so points ahead of them. Yeah, it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, and then Viren still on the power play. Every single time they add someone to those units, they look great at the start, and then it all goes away. Remember Cartier improving the power play because he kept going to the wrong spots?
Yep. I don't know.
Trying to be positive.
Okay, real quick. We'll take it away from the Kraken for a second. Dylan, did you see that video, though, of Bowen Byram? It was a little while ago after the trade when he's in Buffalo on the power play. Mm. If not, I need to show you. But he just keeps moving around and going to different areas, you know, like player movement, like you want to see, and all the other four Sabres players are totally stagnant and they don't know what to do with it. It was really funny. It just exposed how bad the Sabres power play was. I'm not saying the Kraken's power play is at that level, but you can see sometimes when you have one new player out there who's used to a different approach, it becomes obvious.
Yeah, no, I do like that. Let's see. Kylie, Ebbs scored back-to-back games. Come on. And Light agreeing. What did Ebbs do to people are mad about?
Yeah, no, he's been scoring. I don't know. I don't know what you want.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think, you know, he broke the slump and stuff. There, he was in there with everybody on this team. It's just nobody was producing. Like, it wasn't exclusive to him. Let's see. Lowell, sorry, Dylan, not trying to be negative, just realistic. I get it. I get it. Let's see. Jenna, the comments on the pod about Ebbs' effort earlier in the season gave me pause as an Ebbs fan. I mean, look, there was effort issues around with a lot of guys on the team, but yeah, I think he was one of them. Like, again, we've seen him play. If you go back and watch him with the Islanders, right? Because the Islanders system demanded a lot out of you as a player, and Ebbs gave a lot in that system. Like, I didn't think he was going to work coming from Edmonton to go and play on the island there, but he really did. He changed a lot of his game to be kind of like that first in off the rush or off the dump and chase kind of guy. Go in there. He developed a lot more playmaking ability because of that. He was playing below the goal line, really being physical. And a lot of that wasn't there necessarily when he came over and joined the Kraken. And so that's kind of what I was referring to, is we've seen him be that guy who can try to energize things when, you know, the team needs it. And he didn't this year.
Yeah. And by its nature, it takes a lot out of you when you do that. It really doesn't work for a whole season together, but yeah, you kind of have to time it better, I suppose.
Well, and that would be part of the leadership thing. And again, he's older now than he was when he did that. I will give him that, right? Like, you know, but it's also one of those leadership things, right? Of there were times over the course of the season where the team might have needed that, or the young guys, Matty Beniers, might have needed that example and could give that example, right? Like, leadership isn't always about giving the big speech during the intermission. Sometimes it can just be like, look, this is sometimes what it takes when we're all struggling to score. Let's go out there and you know, bang bodies around and try to just generate something dirty and gritty. So there we go. I guess just to answer all the Everly stuff there. Yeah. Let's see. I think people are wanting to shake up the roster with younger players rather than being specifically down on Ebbs, from Rebecca. And yeah, there's elements of that. There's elements of both that and what I was talking about with both Everly and Yanni Gourde too, right? Like, we've seen him play very different in the past from what we've seen this year, while he's also having a down year.
Yeah, and when you do have younger players that are coming up and being decisive and doing what these young guys are, you want to create those spots for next year. Yeah, with the Eberle thing, for me, it wasn't so much the contract I had an issue with. It was just what it signifies as far as the direction you're going overall in the forward group. And I feel like that's also part of what people are feeling.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Let's see. We could pretty easily make room for young guys while also keeping Eberle. It just means moving others. Eberle's a lot better than most of the other vets on the team. I mean, we kind of talked about that yesterday on the podcast, right? We're going to be going into next year where Brandon Tanev is going to be in the last year of his contract. Yanni Gourde will be in the last year of his contract. Like, you know, you're going to have the ability, if you want to really go full youth movement, you could move a couple guys like that and, you know, get some stuff for them and open up roster spots for guys like Ryan Winterton and Logan Morrison.
Yeah, you can do that. I think there's a decent chance they might do that. So it's not impossible, but you know, you're going to have to move other guys out if not, you know, since you are bringing back Eberle.
Yeah, yeah. Question for y'all. Who do you think will end up being better player for Seattle in the long run, baseball Logan Morrison or hockey Logan Morrison?
My baseball knowledge is not at a level qualified to answer that question. Dylan, you got anything?
I would have to look at Logan Morrison baseball instead of hockey on the old Google search here to see where we're at. I mean, I know Logan Morrison from back in the day. Is he with the Mariners now, or he was back in a while ago?
Yeah,
he only played two seasons with the Mariners. I think Logan Morrison can have a better career than that.
Yeah, I think so. More than two seasons. I don't know how he did in those two seasons, but. What would baseball number equivalent of a, you know, bottom six forward? I don't know what that would be.
He batted 225 in the second of those two seasons, so I feel like the bar isn't necessarily
okay. Hockey Logan can beat that, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Let's see. I don't know. I just remember people drawing M's paint diagrams where they would, okay, yeah, it's talking about that stuff there, about curse breaking all in here. Backhand sauce, beating the Ducks 4-0 feels like a game where you go to the dressing room and the coach says, if we were sharp, it would have been 8-0.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, one thing I did notice though was as the final horn was going, and I was taking video of the Kraken bench because I kind of wanted to see the reaction to snapping that losing streak, and it was a big moment and everything. And the guys were, I don't know, you couldn't even tell the game was over really, aside from the handshakes from the coaches. You know, so they weren't celebrating it all that much. I think again, it was more relief than anything.
Yeah, I think so. And then we got an update here from Chris at CPA Team 114. Just to follow up, raise the colors are only when the Kraken are winning, tied, or it's a close game. So that's
okay. Like, good to know
that we did see that tonight. And you know, I know a lot of people were speculating last time that it was just because there wasn't maybe enough fans in the stands to do it. Mm-hmm. There were some gaps in there tonight, and they did it anyway, and it all worked fine. It seemed.
Yeah, no, I think so. And that's good to get some clarification on how that is officially run, because there were so many questions around it. Also, got my Team 114 badge right here.
Nice, nice.
Got it pulled out of my backpack. So thank you again for that, Chris.
Love it. Vira, now give me Winterton on the PK. I'm greedy like that.
I like it. Why not?
It's gonna happen. I think he's got a better chance of being there than Matty. Ricky, Zegras would drive Hackstall crazy. Would love to see it.
Yeah, he really would. I'm having a hard time seeing the fit there from just player and coach. He'd get demoted in a way that would anger a lot of us, I think, just deployment wise, if he wasn't playing in all three zones and doing what he can.
I was going to say, I don't know that Hackstall is one of those guys that would think out of the box enough to use him effectively, right? Like that's not, yep. This organization as a whole isn't really like an out of the box thinker kind of place. So yeah, I don't know that would work. Riley, I'm not sold on Zegras at all. I wouldn't want to see his game in the playoffs. But then we've got conflicting stuff here. Jenna, Zegras looked good, especially coming off that injury. Light, Zegras has a lot better shot at the playoffs sooner than us, and stuff there. So I don't know. I mean, I know you had texted me and you weren't like a huge fan of Zegras's game in this one, but you know what? I thought he started the game strong, and I thought he had a really powerful third period.
Yeah, I liked the start from him, and I noticed him there, and I think it was after I texted you that I noticed him a couple more times. It was kind of the middle of the game where he disappeared. Yeah. I kind of threw Carlson's name in there as well. Sorry, a giant round of applause going on somewhere there. I didn't notice him a whole lot. I mean, it's his first game back, so I wasn't expecting too much, but I do think he's the kind of player that would drive Hackstall a little crazy sometimes.
Yeah, he would drive anybody crazy, but like he was a guy setting up a lot of stuff for the Ducks that nobody on his team could kind of capitalize on because they're not that good. So I don't know. I was willing to give him a little bit more leeway there, and especially Leo Carlson than you were. You were,
yeah, and the supporting cast around them again was just terrible. Like, yes. Anybody with any talent just gets sucked down into the mediocrity of the rest of the group, it seems.
Yeah. What I love about Leo Carlson, just watching him in this game and it finally clicked for me, is he's a bodyguard for Troy Terry. Like, they've got this 18-year-old kid out there being a physical bodyguard for Troy Terry. And I thought that was really funny because everything great that Leo Carlson does is obviously he can break it out of their own zone, but then he goes and he gives space to guys by being physical. He just pushes defenders away, and all of a sudden his line mates now have time and space. And if you watch, especially when like Troy Terry was along the boards, Leo Carlson skates over and he's always like hovering. He like kind of does this half circle around the boards wherever Troy Terry is, and he's just a physical presence to block other guys from being there. I'm like, that's what you got the second overall pick doing in his rookie year. He's just going to be the bouncer for the club that is Troy Terry. All right.
Troy Terry. I love that. But yeah, I mean, that is one of the first things I noticed with him is, you know, he's got that big man body already. He can go in and be physical with the biggest of them.
Yeah. Jenna, who has a better chance of being here this time next year, Hack or Zegras?
Oh, Hackstall, 1,000%.
Yes. Unless we're talking about on vacation during the off season, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, I don't know.
I feel like everybody always wants to get out wherever they spend the rest of the season. Let's see. Jason, I would love the opportunity to not like seeing how someone on the Kraken plays in the playoffs. So I know we got
that's true.
Lots of talk about who would play well in the playoffs and stuff. It's like, yeah, you know what? Let's just get them there. Coop, I just want a coach that has a system and gives us an on-ice identity, all the things Dylan said on the pod this week. That's going to be something that we're probably not going to see from Hextall until the offseason, where he can kind of go to work on it. I am wondering, though, if he will, right? Like, he's had the opportunities in the past and he hasn't, but I feel like this year, because of how it's gone, it's going to be a real back to basics, back to the drawing board for everybody, front office and coaching staff.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of film study, a lot of reevaluation, and a lot of looking at, yeah, what do we really want this team to be? I'm sure the identity stuff is not lost on them, right? They kind of got away from any semblance of an identity, and mid-season, it's, you know, at a certain point, it can be almost too late to do anything about it in a meaningful way. But mm-hmm. You bet over the offseason, they're going to have a look at that.
Yeah, definitely. And this is a good one. The Zegras conversation has been continuing. Sam, however, considering how easily Zegras gets scared, the team could easily make a goldmine of content solely on Zegras's paranoia. That is extremely true.
That would be fun. I mean, wait till Adam Larson finds out about that.
Yeah. No, oh my gosh, it's crazy. Like, if you haven't seen the video, everybody, of him getting surprised during the Christmas shoot, that who was in the bear? Was it Adam Henrique?
Oh.
It wasn't Adam Henrique. It was somebody. It was, I don't remember who was in the bear, but somebody got in one of those life-size bears and scares him. And I feel like he's just not been the same since then. Like, I just think you could see it in his eyes. He doesn't trust the material world around him anymore, because at any time it might just move and scare him.
Yeah, do we want that? Do we want a player who's that susceptible to that?
I don't know, but he's, you know, he could set up guys with cross-crease passes like nobody else, I will tell you that.
Yeah.
And that would be fun for the Kraken here. Maddie confirming Morrison got the hat.
Okay, nice. Good for him. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful.
He deserves
beautiful.
It.
Definitely. Julia, I've been a fan of Leo Carlson ever since he was picked over Fantilli, and so many Ducks fans freaked out, lol. And he has a very endearing stutter. I hope he continues to do well. He will. You can tell watching him, he is taking so much information in. His head is always pointed at exactly really where his body should be. So it's only a matter of time before he learns to trust his instincts. And I feel like that's what this year has largely been, especially after watching this game. There was a lot of that where you could see that he was like, should I be there? And then it was obvious that he should have been there. So I think in the future, he'll start kind of going for those things.
And since he's come up too, Hextall's spoken really highly about him in a way that kind of reminds me about how he talked about Ty Karche last year. And of course, I know that's the obvious parallel, but talking about that journey and how impressive it is to go from being an undrafted free agent to getting to the NHL that quickly, that's the kind of thing Hextall's got all the time in the world for.
We were talking about Leo Carlson. Who are you talking about?
Oh, never mind. I was talking about Logan Morrison.
Okay.
Forget that. The hat. Never mind. Forget it.
Yeah, no. Sorry. I'd moved on from that. Sorry.
Okay.
But yes, no, it is true. We talked about that. How crazy is it, RJ? Because I talked about this earlier, that the Kraken in back-to-back years could identify somebody, sign them as an undrafted free agent, push them through Coachella Valley, and then have them make a pretty good debut at the NHL level later that season.
That really speaks to your development staff and everybody you have working down there. I mean, I should check just how often around the league that happens. I feel like that happens, you know, maybe once in the NHL per season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And then I think we'll end it on this one from Edward. Wait until Zegras sees the ghost that Tanev sees on picture day.
Oh, no.
Then he'll start distrusting the non-material world, too. There'll be no trust left in the poor kid. Yes,
step
it was
three prophet.
It
Shattenkirk.
Was
okay.
Yes, it was. Thank you, Sam, for throwing that in there. Definitely, definitely. Anyway, happy we're able to leave it on some smiles there after RJ came in and tried to bring the negativity after the beautiful win that the Kraken had.
The revisionist history begins already, and the post game's not even over.
It's exactly what happened.
I said I wasn't going to do it. I didn't do it.
Okay, sure. We'll see everybody next time. But of course, like one more time, got to remind everyone that if you like watching the Kraken play the Anaheim Ducks, not only do we get another game on Thursday, but again, for that watch party at the Flatstick Pub, South Lake Union location on April 5th, we will be there and watching that game against the Anaheim Ducks, and it should be a good one, especially given the information that we know from today. And hey, who knows? Maybe Ryan Winterton and Logan Morrison will still be in the lineup for that one.
That'd be good pretty
happen.
Fun.
Good yeah. happen. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Go celebrate the Kraken win, and we will see you all next time.